Truth and Transcendence, brought to you by Being Space with Catherine Llewellyn. Truth and Transcendence, episode 130, with special guest Donna Wallace. Now, if you haven't come across Donna, she is a lady who helps people all around the world to switch on their lights. And we'll find out what that means as we continue in the conversation. Having experienced her own dark days, or in fact years, Donna found her way through meaningless jobs, trying to find herself and her purpose. A specialized HR role in a large corporate in Melbourne, Australia, saw Donna using her intuition in a way that was useful and effective. Always having dreamt of doing energy healing as her sole income, Donna finally got the courage to pursue this when her daughter was born. It was at this point that she made a commitment to herself to follow her intuition, which took her on a magical carpet ride with exciting and at times challenging twists and turns. The work Donna does with clients today is to help them discover their perfect soulmate stone, creating soul-sparking heirloom jewelry that helps them blossom into their full soul potential. So, you know, why did I invite Donna? Donna's chosen mission is so unique and so bold. And in fact, we were talking in the pre-call about the fact that, as far as we know, no one else is doing this. But also, of course, sparkly, that I just couldn't say no. I love how Donna has found a completely different direction and has gone with it 100%. Utterly inspiring. And anyone who's listening, and actually I include myself, who's ever been considering doing something that no one's ever done before, Donna's story actually is well worth listening to, because she took an enormous leap of courage. So Donna, thank you so much for coming on Truth and Transcendence.
Oh, Catherine, it's such a delight and a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great. So obviously, intuition has been a really strong element of Donna's story, where she had this very strong intuitive sense of what to do, and she followed it. And I'm fascinated by that whole notion of intuition, partly because over here in the UK, certainly, it's not really something most of us are brought up to really investigate or strengthen or trust or follow. And in fact, often when people use the word intuition, they're not really talking about intuition. They're really talking about well-processed information along with a little bit of imagination. You know, intuition is something much more mysterious and infinite than that. So I think intuition is also very important right now, because many of us are in a situation where we don't necessarily know what to do or how to do it, or how to fix some of the problems that we've inherited from the past few years. So I think intuition is a fantastic theme for today. So Donna, I'm going to leap right in with my very first question I ask all my guests, which is, can you remember when you first kind of realized or noticed that intuition was something that was really important to you, really interesting to you?
Oh, it is a really great question, and I can't remember the first moments. I actually, as I say that, what's coming up for me are the many, many, many times that I was intuitively picking up things as a child and happened to grow up in a household where that wasn't the norm, where intuition wasn't the norm. And so, yes, probably that my first experiences right from when I was tiny were me having a very strong sense of what people were feeling around me, and knowing what people were going through, my family, especially my parents, and also that not being acknowledged because the issues in the household weren't being spoken about at that point in time. So in that in some ways, you know, I think that, not in some ways, I think in probably every way, our children are incredibly intuitive. And if we're not having the conversation with them to validate what they're getting, perceiving, picking up, then it starts to get squashed.
Yeah.
And we as sensitive beings start to doubt ourselves.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And is that partly because we're intuiting that it's not being approved of in some way or not being?
Yes, but also we're told, we're quite literally told, no, that's not the case. Mummy's fine. And, you know, mummy's not fine. You know?
Yeah.
I think that we're told that the opposite. We're told white lies, and those white lies go against what we know to be true. And so here we are already on the topic of truth, Catherine. In a different way, perhaps exploring it in a different way. But yeah, that we have a sense of truth. Our intuition gives us a sense of what is right, what is not morally right or the right thing to do, but what is like right as in our truth.
Mm.
And depending on our upbringing, our culture, that all informs us as to how valid it is for us to live by that or not.
Yeah.
And I would say that probably similar to what you're you said, that intuition is not really a commonly is not commonly A, understood, but B, supported and nurtured in the UK. But it's the same. I would say that it was probably the same here in Australia, predominantly when I was growing up. And I think that the world is becoming quite a different place now, which is so exciting.
I agree with you. I really do. And there are more and more people now talking about intuition.
Yes.
You know, I noticed a lot of them compared to me are very young. You know, different things come to light in different generations, I think, and become trusted in different ways. Because like you, I was quite intuitive as a child, which people found very annoying. You know, I just considered to be a nuisance, which I've, you know, decided to make into a lifestyle. But yes, it was.
And a career.
Turn it into a career, you know.
I love it.
It's going to pay you for it. quite a different, interesting way. I'm not going to put that in my marketing, I don't think.
Maybe not.
So what was that like, being a very intuitive child and not just having people not really validate it, but literally having people try to convince you that what you were saying was not true when you knew it was true? Can you remember what that was like?
Yes, I think that really what happened quite quickly was that I didn't express what I felt and I didn't voice it. And so I do remember what it was like. To me, it was without any disrespect to my parents, because I love them dearly and they did their best job bringing me up. But for me, it was very challenging to be a very emotional and sensitive and intuitive child and it not be responded to in that way.
Yeah.
So instead, I was the kid who had big feelings, who wanted too much, that, you know, too muchness was very much my experience of how I was perceived. And very emotional and very sensitive. And but then on the other hand, I was the good girl and the people pleaser and the one who also wanted to make things calm in our family. So I would try and be like resolve problems and things like that as well. So it was challenging, if I'm perfectly honest, really challenging. And that took me through some really dark days in my teenage years, really dark days.
Mm.
Yes, like going through that process of trying to figure out who I was and yet not feeling understood by anyone. And I was lucky that I had, you know, a few different people in my world pop in at different times that really did see me and did understand who I am at the heart of me, and could recognize the gifts that I have as well, because of course they share them too. So they got it.
Ah, fantastic.
So having said that, oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I'd love to hear a bit more about some of those people, you know, who they were, how they turned up in your life.
Yes, that would be amazing. I'd love to share that. I had an auntie who she didn't have any daughters. She had sons. And for whatever reason, her and I just have always had this amazing bond. And she just totally spoilt me and adored me and loved me. And there was this level of unspoken acceptance that I experienced through her, which was really special. She was there in my earlier years, and then they moved away. When I was a teenager, my it's totally kind of out of character for my family, but my family started doing these personal development courses. And at one of these personal development courses, I met a woman. Her name is Joan. And I was, Catherine, you'll laugh at this, but I was crying. I was upset. I think I was about 16 or something. And I had been breaking up with a boyfriend. And you know, my world was falling apart, Catherine. I was so beside myself, right? Yeah. And Joan came over and said, "Listen, Donna, I see that you're upset. Just come and sit in the corner over here. I'll bring a chair over for you." And she put her hands on my shoulders and gave me Reiki. And it instantly felt warming and calming, but more importantly, was the first experience that I ever had of being at home in this body, in this life, on this planet called Earth. My first experience of being at home.
Wow.
And that was a completely life-changing moment in time. From then, I knew that I was absolutely meant to find out what this Reiki thing was, learnt it straight away. As soon as that next course was available, I was booked in with Joan, and her partner is a Reiki master, or was a Reiki master. And Joan became a very strong, big, significant part of my life. I can feel that emotion talking about her, but she basically helped me navigate the most challenging times in my life and helped me understand from a spiritual perspective why I went through what I went through. And she just gave me this light and this understanding and this spiritual context that helped me make sense of everything that was wrong about me, about what I'd experienced, and gave me a sense of the rightness of it and how I could use it to take the gold out of absolutely horrendous things that I'd experienced, to being basically, so I what I'm alluding to is an experience where I was sexually assaulted, and it was, of course it wasn't pleasant, or I don't usually talk about this on podcasts, Catherine, but here we are. It was the most challenging time of my life. I went through a 5-year process with the police and court case, and that man ultimately was sentenced and went to jail. And what happened in that process was that there were a number of other victims who came forward, and Joan showed me through different spiritual language, like she's an astrologer, and she showed me through different modalities why I went through what I went through and how I came out of it as a way shower for other people. And if it wasn't for me standing up to that man, then all of these other victims wouldn't have come forward and wouldn't have had the kind of resolution that we all had. Significant conversations, deep healing that Joan helped give me, that I really, to be honest, don't know what I would have done without her and what we went through together.
Yeah.
And how she supported me. And so Joan is about 30 or 40 years older than me. And so she's still a special part of my world and my life. And yeah, she's one person who really stepped in. And I feel, Catherine, that this is what happens in our lives when there are things missing or that we need, and particularly if we're not getting them from our parents, other people will come in other ways, and we'll always get what we need. It just doesn't always look the way that we A, want it or expect it, or B, thought it would happen. So
But you have to be open to receiving it at the time, don't you? I mean, you were obviously on that particular day, you were upset, and you'd allowed that to come through. You hadn't you hadn't bottled it down or hidden it. You were in that kind of semi-public situation, and you allowed that to come through, and you allowed it to be witnessed. And when she came to you and invited you to go off into the corner, you went with her. You didn't say, no, I'll be all right, leave me alone, you silly old woman, you know, which some people would have done. So I think it is.
I never thought about it like that. But
you know, it's, as I'm imagining that story, because as you're describing it, thank you so much for sharing that. That's such a personal story, and I'm very touched by it. And I feel like I want to acknowledge that you did respond, and you were open. You were open to your vulnerability, and you were open to receiving the gift that she gave you on that day, and to receiving. And that another thing that occurs sometimes the first time somebody is given something like Reiki or any kind of loving touch or empathetic input, if they've been, shall we say, starved before that or lacking before that, sometimes they can't or won't receive it the first time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And if someone can and does receive it the first time, what that says is that that person's very open in that moment and also courageous in that moment, because otherwise they would block it or semi-block it.
Interesting.
You know, sometimes people have to have many treatments before it starts to seep in, before they start to relax and open enough for it to come in.
That's really interesting, Catherine. I haven't actually experienced that myself, and I've worked with lots of people with energy healing but not experienced that, but it makes sense.
And I also
it makes a lot of sense. And at the same time, maybe my soul or my intuition knew what was behind those doors of sitting in the corner with, you know, Joan putting her hands on my shoulders. Mate, it was the very thing that I was in truth desperate for.
Yeah. And the fact you were
yearning for
it in the first place. And it's no coincidence why your family started to do personal development stuff, personal growth stuff. So
I know,
you know, all these factors. I really want to acknowledge your openness in that moment, and I really want to acknowledge Joan. But I also really want to acknowledge the thing that you said about you being the way shower for people in regard to naming that you had been abused and sticking with it for that 5-year period, because I know that's not easy.
It really isn't, it really wasn't, and yet I just knew that I couldn't give up, and I knew that I just had to take it to wherever it could possibly go, whatever outcome we could possibly get. Yeah. I just knew, and it was awful. It was really awful. Mm-hmm. But I think that something that I've always had within me, Catherine, right from when I was really young, was I think there's something more available. Like, life gets to be better than this. I know that there's something like on the other side of this. I've always had that deep knowing inside of me. So, of course, there have been times where I've been like, oh my goodness, universe, really? Like, is this really? And then like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this intuition thing anymore. I'm not doing this trust and faith thing anymore. I don't believe in you anymore, because look at where you've landed me. So I've definitely had those moments, but I can honestly say the times where I've disconnected from my faith in that way or my connection with the divine have been like absolute misery, just so awful. And so what's the alternative, you know? What else can be, I don't want to stay in that place of misery. So I choose the light, and I choose my connection with the divine, and I choose following my intuition, because whenever my head tells us which way we end up going, it never works out that well for me, Catherine.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I, you know, I've had equivalents, and I'm sure a lot of people have. And I think, you know, we have a critical mind. We have a faculty of rationalization, and part of that, I think, sometimes is to question and test, you know, test. If I step off the path and try this, does it really not work? Ah, yeah, it really doesn't work. Cool. So my path is validated again. So I carry on. I think it's part of the path. I think falling off the path is part of the path. I think.
Absolutely. Because we all fall off or we all fall down and then we all get back up again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. So you can probably see a cat appearing now.
Doing acrobatics.
Yes. Listeners are probably fed up with this now. I've got this adopted cat who just is relaxing now and jumping up everywhere he's not supposed to be.
I love it. I often have cats and people's cats and dogs and babies coming to calls with me. It just happens. So
cool. Great. Well, you're obviously a very lovely human being in that. So I really appreciate that story about Joan, and I'm imagining you had a number of other people as well along the way. Yeah. Is there someone else you particularly like to share about and the difference that made for you?
Yeah, I'd love to share about my current mentor, Hannah. I met her a number of years ago, and I had gotten to a point where I had tried lots of different modalities, and I just hadn't got to the healing and the resolution that I wanted. I still was kind of unhappy on the inside, even though I had a great life on the outside. And Hannah really has been such the biggest spark of light for me that's helped open up my own light and has given me the kind of support and love and care and insight that I've needed as well. And so Hannah actually, well, she was living in London. She's in Germany now, but she taught me to become a family constellation therapist, and that is a modality that I absolutely love, that has made the biggest difference in my life personally. That's what I did some of that training with her. My training that I did was with her, and now I do that for my clients too, have done for a few years. And she is also the support for me that I got when I had my current business came through. I was in a session with Hannah, and I had said to her, like, I can feel something. I know that something wants to come through in my business, and I'd been doing my energy healing and, you know, holistic counseling and family constellation therapy work for a number of years. And I just had this feeling like something big wanted to come through. And it was in a session with Hannah that that we opened up what that actually was.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to, in a little while, I'm going to ask you more about what you're doing now.
Sure.
But first, for any listeners who don't know what family constellations is, which I also adore, by the way,
Do you?
Yeah. Would you just give a little heads up about what that is? Because I've got a feeling that for some people listening, that might be an important thing to hear about.
Yes, of course. As I said to you, it is the one healing modality that I've found after searching for like over 25 years that made the biggest difference to me, that actually healed the stuff that I couldn't resolve. But family constellation therapy works on the energy field of our family system. So there is, just like we have an energy field, an aura, our family system also has an energy field. And all of the information that's stored in our in the field is basically tells us how to behave, how to act, how to, like, what we can do, what we can't do, how what we need to do to belong to the family system. And when we're born, our primary need is to belong to the family, because if we don't belong, we die.
Yeah.
And so our need to belong to the family system is greater than our need for anything else, because it equals survival. And so when we're born into the family system, if there has been any trauma that hasn't been healed or processed by family members, it sits there in the field as unprocessed trauma. And sometimes when new children are born into that family, they'll pick that unprocessed trauma up, they'll take it on as theirs, and they will relive or live out like some of those same issues or same circumstances. Yeah. Like maybe it's health issues that are common in that family, or maybe it's addiction or gambling or being assaulted or dying at a young age, all sorts of different things that can be seen as family patterns happen because those children are coming into the family, and out of love and loyalty, they want to help resolve those issues. They want more love, more happiness, and more joy to come about in the family. They want everyone to feel happier and more loved. But in actual fact, we know that living out someone else's unprocessed trauma doesn't actually work. And so in family constellation therapy, we basically find all the stuff that's going on in the field of the family system, all the things that are like kinking the hose of love and life force energy for everyone. We figure out what that unprocessed trauma is. And for my clients, we go through a process of releasing it. And then also the constellation part is we move everyone into their rightful places. So like a wolf pack, Catherine, if every wolf knows its position and every wolf knows its role, and if the wolves in their rightful positions and in their rightful roles, then it's a really healthy wolf pack.
Yeah.
And the same within our family. If we are all in the rightful positions and we're all playing our rightful roles, then we're a healthy family system, and the energy of that, the energy of love and life force flows really easily. But for instance, if I'm the child and I'm relating to my mother like she's the child and I'm being the parent, then we're not in the right roles. We're in the wrong roles. And so there's not as much life force energy moving through the field of the family system. So what we do is we clear all of that. We put everyone into their rightful roles and positions, and we start receiving literally from behind us, because that's where our parents are meant to be standing in the field of the family system. We are meant to be receiving love and life force energy and support from behind us, from them. And so when you don't have it and you can't feel it, like, that's one thing. And then when you, I'm stating the obvious, but I'm almost going through this process in my mind of feeling the difference of not having it and then having it, and the difference when you do have that experience of that love and support coming through from your parents behind you, your body relaxes. And sometimes it feels like a real relief, like, oh, I'm finally getting what I need. And then also it can be like having the wind beneath your wings. So then you can go out and create the most beautiful life, and it's done not in a way of I've got to break the glass ceiling, I've got to go to university when no other women in my family have gone to university, I've got to go out there and make that business and no other women in my family have made, you know, had businesses. It's not like that. The way that I see it now is that I turn around and I say to, like, you know, not in the real life, yeah, but in my mind, I turn around and I say to my mom and my dad and to all of my ancestors behind me, like, I want to create the most beautiful, happiest, like, gorgeous life, and I'm going to do it in honor of you. I'm going to do it in honor of everything that you've been through, because everything that our ancestors have been through has allowed me to get to this point where I can even do this healing work for our family, and I can offer. So we have this, the healing gets done, say, through me, but then there's this beautiful ripple effect that everyone in the field of my family system receives, whether they're alive or they've passed away. And of course, now down through to my children and to me, Catherine, that is everything. Because I don't want to have unprocessed trauma sitting over my face like an octopus and I can't see what's right in front of me. Instead, I want that all cleared so I am free and I am open and I can do my job of giving my kids all of the love and the support that they need, and really seeing them for their beautiful, incredible, individual, joyous selves, and help them grow in that way.
Thank you so much for explaining family constellations in such a personal way. Wonderful. It's really worth looking into. Anyone who's listening, if that touched you in any way, it's worth looking into. There are more and more really wonderful practitioners around. I live in rural Wales, and I've just recently discovered there's a incredibly talented family constellations practitioner 20 minutes away.
Oh, how perfect.
And yeah, she does the most beautiful. I haven't trained in it personally. I've just participated, but it is very, very beautiful, wonderful work.
It is. It is. I also do it over Zoom. So I have clients, you know, we don't have to do it in person too. So, right.
Fantastic. So, yeah.
There's that.
Thank you so much. So let's skip forward a bit. So, listening to you, there's obviously a book. There's a book, obviously, available in this whole story of your life. There are so many fascinating aspects to it, with so many fascinating themes. But if we come forward to that moment when you made that switch, which was when your daughter was born, and you decided to follow that intuitive path, I'd love to hear more about that, if you'd like to share.
That was a really big deal, Catherine. It was a huge turning point in my life after she was born. I don't know how many months old she was, maybe six. I was completely sleep deprived. My darling daughter did not sleep, therefore neither did I. And it didn't matter. What happened was, when she was born, I had this sense of like, oh my goodness, finally we're all together again. Like, finally she's here, earthside. I had my son already. Our family felt complete when she arrived. And something was happening as I was, you know, in those first few months. And yeah, I think it was about the time that she was 6 months old, I had this real epiphany. And that was, I feel like her soul is asking me to be everything that I can be. I feel like I can't just be that mother that says that you can do anything that you want in your life. I'll encourage you and I'll support you and I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Instead, I had this knowing that I had to role model it, that I had to be following my dreams, that I had to be living my dreams, that I could live the life that I had always dreamt of and didn't think was possible. And so with that, I made a decision that, like, if I was ever going to do my healing work, and this is the dream that I'd always had while I was working all the different corporate jobs and feeling like my soul was dying at the same time, I just thought, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. I have to do it now. Like, I know it's not ideal. We're both sleep deprived. I'm still like breastfeeding this young baby. And at some point I'm going to go back to that corporate job part time, which I did, but I just made a decision. I had to do it. And I had to just, I didn't know if it was going to work out, but I just had to give it a go. And I knew that my daughter's soul was really asking me to step into my fullness and be everything that I could be. So I didn't know how I was going to do it, Catherine. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know. I didn't even really, not even sure if I believed it was possible then to earn the kind of money that I needed to give up my corporate job. Mm. And so I just started. And where I started was, I was, I opened the doors to my business officially. I opened a business. I'd always been doing my healing work on the side as a hobby kind of, you know, side thing. And when I did open the doors to my business, I had people flood into me, like flood in. And I, after not very long, was booked up like 3 months in advance, and I was working nights. And then at some point I went back to my corporate job a few days a week. So I was mum to the young baby who still wasn't sleeping, working the very intense corporate job, and then also doing my healing work at night. And was I tired? Yes. But was I the most fulfilled I'd ever been? Oh, you better believe it. Mm. Like, I hadn't had that feeling like, finally, I feel content and fulfilled because I know finally I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And that feeling, compared to the many years before of the absence of that, was everything.
Yeah.
It still is everything.
And when you first opened your doors as a business at that time, what was the name of the business, and what was it, what were you offering at that time?
I just called it my name. I just called it, was it my name? I think I had yeah, it was my name. It was Donna Wallace. I'm just thinking back to my old branding. It was Donna Wallace. At the same time, I decided that I would figure out how to bring one of my other dreams to life, which was like a 20-year-old dream of doing my healing work in a teepee. So I had a big, I ended up getting a big teepee and went in our backyard. And yeah, at the time I was offering Reiki and I was offering like holistic counseling and energy healing, spiritual healing, and helping people tap into their intuition and helping people connect with their spirit guides. Just being with people in whatever space they needed.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. So how did that then evolve from there?
So after that, I started working with a business coach and she really pushed me out of my comfort zone and asked me to charge more and structure my business in a different way and gave me lots of tips around how to do that. And there was a plan for me to get to a certain level of income with my healing business, at which point I was going to resign from my corporate job. And instead what happened was one day I was walking out of the teepee, bare feet on the back, on the grass in the backyard, and I just got this very quiet message, like a whisper, Catherine, it's time. And I kind of did this double take and I knew exactly what they meant. And I just knew. I wasn't quite at that point of that financial income that I wanted. It scared me out of my wits. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's not time, Catherine, it's not time. Like, I'm not ready for it. Are we really ready? Can I really do this? Big deep breaths and following that intuition. And so I did. And my manager was really supportive at my work. And she said, well, let me see if I can arrange a period of unpaid leave, which she was able to get across the line, which they weren't giving out to anyone at that point in time. So it meant that I could have, unpaid leave for a year while I established my business. And I think it was about 9 months into that time. And I just felt like, oh no, I can't stay. I can't use this as a backdoor anymore. Energetically, I want to disconnect from that and just really own that this is what I'm doing and subsequently resigned at that point. But it was so wonderful to have an amazing supportive manager who, like, really, bless her heart, I'm still friends with her now.
How fantastic. Isn't that great? I mean, there is a thread running through everything that you've said of what I might call kindness, you know.
Absolutely.
You said as a child you wanted to be kind in your family. I don't think you used that word, but you know, you wanted to help the situation.
Yeah, I wanted to help it.
Who wanted to help you. Mm. So that element has definitely been present, hasn't it, all the way through?
So much so. Yeah.
From you to others, from others to you. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Mm. That's just.
Thank you for that reflection.
It just really struck me. I mean, it's easy for me to notice these things because I'm getting this sort of summary
of
the story, you know, and I'm not in it. So, that's great. Isn't that great? So how did that then transition towards what you're doing now?
So, I did that for quite a few years, my healing work for quite a number of years. And then we decided that we would make a move so I was living in the western suburbs of Melbourne with my family. And then we wanted to make a tree/sea change, which we did in the middle of the pandemic. So I know that you started your podcast at that time too. We moved at the very beginning of 2021. And it was during that time that I had that feeling of like, I know something else wants to come through, but let's just sell the house, buy the new block of land, move, da 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 da, and settle, and then I'll figure out what that big thing is that wants to come through. So I'm sharing that because I know that my move to the beach, Catherine, that changed everything for me. I finally now live in a place that feels like heaven on earth to me and energetically is so supportive for me. Like it is I went for a swim in the ocean this morning with a friend. Mind you, it was really cold. It was like 14 or 15 degrees in the water. Super cold. Anyway, we're in there and we just, you know, every week we swim together, me and a couple of friends, and we all say, this is amazing. Like, we're so lucky. You know, we're just in this little slice of heaven. Anyway, so I believe that sometimes where we are and the location and the sacred land that we're living on really does contribute to who we are and the capacity that we have. And also, I feel like sometimes we need to be in particular places to bring things through.
Yeah.
Certainly was in my case. Yeah. Yeah. You get that too.
I completely agree. Yeah. I've experienced that in my own life as well.
Have you?
And clients as well have had the same experience.
Yeah.
We're connected to the land and
we are
the ancestors of the land and the weather and the sky and the animals and trees.
Yes, I'm just
and
listening to the kookaburras singing in the background as the sun is setting here. Yeah.
Yeah. It all affects us.
It really does.
So you arrived at the beach. So you can't.
So we arrived at the beach.
On the beach, were you? You're living a little bit away from the tides.
Away from the tides. Like at that point, I think we're a kilometer away.
Mm.
So not far. The town that I live in is right on the beach.
Yeah.
And yeah. So then I had this session with Hannah in my teepee, and what came through was. She asked me a question like, what does your business want to sell? And before I could even think about it, Catherine, the word came through products. And I did the biggest double take because if you know me, then you know that I have never, ever sold products and never got into any of the multi-level marketing stuff. Like I deliberately steered clear from all of that. And I just always thought I'd found my patch in life doing, you know, offering services. And so then I just had these visions come one after another, and I saw someone's hand, and I saw this colored gemstone ring being placed, slid onto that person's finger. And as it did, I saw energy like light, like electrical currents running up that person's arm and into their body. And as that happened, then I saw their aura just go ding, like the light turned on. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? What is this? And I got that, like, I was meant to make gorgeous jewelry that is custom made for people's souls, and it's designed to turn on people's lights and help their soul blossom and people step into their full potential.
How amazing.
Sounds a bit crazy and out there, doesn't it?
Had you ever heard or read or anything of anyone doing anything similar to that?
Never. And it took me so much by surprise. It was like something completely new. I could never even think of that, Catherine. Like my little pea brain could never come up with an idea like that, and it could never come up with it so fully fleshed out of what I was given. You know, that I was given that they were meant to be high quality and heirloom pieces, and that they're meant to be like the highest energetic powers, if you like, that I could get, like that I could make. And I just, all of these different things that came through, I could never have conjured up myself, and took me by complete surprise.
Yeah.
And I also are you crazy, spirit? Like, you must be crazy because I don't know anything about jewelry. And, like, are you sure? Like, have you got the right person? Because I thought I was just going to be in my teepee for the rest of my days. Do you know? Like, this is something out there. And then I kept saying to Hannah at the end of the session, do you really think, like, do you really think I can do this? Like, do you think? Oh, just, you know, giggling the whole way, thinking, oh, gosh. I don't know, but okay, yes, all right, I'm going to give it a go.
How amazing. So that sounds like what some of us might call a download.
Yes, I call it a divine download, yes.
Yeah, that just kind of landed with you. And then you had a choice to
follow. Oh, yes. Account. Yes. And it looked like such a big task because not only were there so many things that I didn't know about that I needed to learn about, so many things that I needed to pull together to create a business, but also, could I do it? Could I get over my self-doubt? Yeah. I feel like I was going to say something else in Catherine, but yeah, that was such a huge part. Like, could I actually do it? So I knew that there, like, I got in that first big divine download, a few steps that I needed to take, which was source a jeweler, find where I get gemstones, which then ended up being find where I get ethically sourced gemstones from. Yeah. Figure out how to pull all of this together. Like, what, how do I even offer this to people? How is this even a business?
Yeah.
And what am I offering people? And then it just sort of came. But it was at the beginning, just another one of those times where I thought, I just have to give it a go. Like, you know, after my daughter was born, I just have to give the healing work a go. And then I thought, I just have to give this a go and see what happens. Like, what's there to lose? There's probably a fair bit of time to lose, and a bit of a financial investment to give setting up the business, you know, to start that.
Yeah.
But what if it's amazing?
You weren't buying in lots of gems and training as a jeweler, were you? So
I bought some gemstones at the beginning, actually, but I wasn't training as a jeweler. But I don't know, maybe you've already noticed in what I've said, Catherine, but I have somehow this amazing ability to find the most incredible people. Like, I just come across the most amazing people, Catherine. And when I follow my intuition, like, I found this jeweler who is in Melbourne, and he's the one who creates my pieces of jewelry, has over 30 years experience, mentors me as well, and teaches me all this incredible stuff. And like, every time I pick up a piece of jewelry, like, tears well up in my eyes because I just can't believe, like, the craftsmanship is just unbelievable. So, like, I'm really lucky. I know how to find really good people. Mm. And, yeah, that makes all the difference.
Yeah. You said something to me earlier about how following intuition helps connect us with each other.
Yeah.
And what you said just then about when you were following your intuition, you could find the right people. What's your understanding of what that connection is and why that connection works?
Oh, why does it work? Because our souls know there is a higher wisdom that we are tapping into and connecting with, and we call that intuition.
Right.
You know, this, a higher knowledge, a higher intelligence, something that, like I said before, my little pea brain couldn't think of that. I mean that. Like, my human brain is smart, it's intelligent, you know, I love my brain, but honestly, the wisdom that comes through from source, if you want to call it source or the divine or higher intelligence, there is something that is so, I don't have words for it. And so when we get these little nudges of or hints of intuition, like, Donna, contact this person or go to the coffee shop and order the smoothie instead of having, you know, toast at home, like, and then I happen to meet someone, you know, like, it's these tiny little things that we can't logically comprehend. We can't understand at that point in time why we would do that. But when we do that and the magical things happen, then hindsight is such a beautiful thing, isn't it, Catherine? And we're like, oh, that's why my intuition told me da 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 da. And now I'm sitting in this position where my business is fully fledged and, you know, I've got customers and pieces of jewelry being created and the most amazing conversations like this one, Catherine, with you. And I have the most incredible interactions with my customers and we all just feel so much better for it. And I'm sitting here going, now I get why the divine or the soul of my business or my soul wanted me to do this work, because it is the best possible thing. I couldn't even imagine, like, that there would be anything better for me than doing this work. And the level of fulfillment that I have has grown infinitely, but also I've met the most amazing people and I get to play with gorgeous gemstones and create beautiful things in the world in the name of healing. Like, how lucky am I?
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's luck and, you know, application.
And following my intuition.
Following your intuition, you know, and actually doing the work.
And doing the work, because certainly so much perseverance and getting over myself and my own self-doubts and limitations, and then having to learning so many more things.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. How amazing. And you said something to me before about how these different gemstones connect with each other. Could you say something about that?
Yes. So when I had that first download of the jewelry coming through, Catherine, what I saw was there were all these pieces of jewelry being made. So I was like, this is going to sound a bit crazy, but, you know, in this conversation, surely nothing's crazy now. But I was up in the stars and I was looking down and I saw over the top of Melbourne all of these pieces of jewelry being made, and they're like being created and coming up, like bubbling up. And then I see them flying out to, you know, these lines going to all different parts of around the earth. And then I saw that when they landed in all these different places of the earth, that all of the pieces of jewelry, the gemstones, actually formed a crystal grid. And so I've got goosebumps. And so now my mission, and I don't even know how I'm going to measure this, but I'm just going for it anyway, Catherine, is to create the world's largest crystal grid using our jewelry. And so the grid is already in place. I've already built it, if you like, and every time a piece of jewelry is created, it is connected to, I call it the House of Orion crystalline energetic grid. And every 6 months, my customers come into live calls with me as part of, you know, complimentary calls, and we do energetic activation work. So the crystalline grid that we've set up with all of our gemstones is designed to support the ascension of Mother Earth, and is designed to support the ascension of all of her inhabitants and habitats. And so in our last call, which was just this month actually, we had a big energetic upgrade within the grid itself, and the energy of peace was downloaded into the grid so we could support peace on this planet.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you for doing that.
It's my pleasure. And I just, we do. We need it. And I feel that healing ourselves and healing the planet can be done in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Well, what an incredible story. I'm so grateful to you, Donna, for sharing all of this. It's so beautiful. And I love how you've sort of shared with us that connection between you and where you've come from and what you found to do in your own life, and how that then connects out to your individual clients, which then connects out to this beautiful crystal grid for the planet. And so you've got this whole beautiful dynamic going on, which I just think is extraordinary and exquisite. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So I'm going to actually ask you to consider something now, which is, if we think about the fact that that there are a lot of people in the world at the moment who are wanting to be part of the solution, let's say, you know, you've just described what you're doing. So, you know, you're a leader in the way that you're being a leader, but there are a lot of other people in all sorts of leadership positions, some of whom are simply trying to be good leaders in their own lives, literally.
Yes. Amazing.
And, you know, some of those people are listening to this podcast right now. And some of them will be thinking, well, this is insane. Some of them will be thinking, this is amazing.
Don't worry, I think it is too.
And some people will be thinking, this is great, but how do I take on some of these ideas? How do I kind of run with them? How do I kind of incorporate some of this into my life? What would you like to say to some of those people?
The kookaburra is singing in the background again. What I would like to say is the divine download that I had about my jewelry That came after many years of following my intuition. And I was really open and ready to see it. And I'd already had a history of really practicing following my intuition and seeing just how well it worked out. So I had a lot of evidence in my life of how much of a good idea that is for me. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to following your intuition, I would say start small, you know. And when you ask a question, like whatever answer you're looking for, ask a question. And it's your intuition is the first thing that drops in. It's not the second thing. And it's not, don't pay any attention to that. Oh, but is that my mind? Or that can't be right. Or I couldn't possibly do that. Because we all have those reactions and often we have them to intuition because sometimes they're challenging. Sometimes following our intuition takes us into really uncomfortable spaces or seemingly impractical things, or like sometimes it seems really silly. But I would say just, you know, when you get that feeling, that gut feeling, or you get that whisper in your ear, or you get that vision, or you get that, however intuition comes to you, trust it. And not only trust it, but take the action. Mm. Doesn't matter if it's choosing the smoothie over the toast. You know, it can be something really small. It could be something bigger, like, you know, if it make a big life change, but just take those first small steps and let yourself see just how well it works out. And it can take some time to build up that muscle of following your intuition.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sim.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Does that answer your question?
Definitely. You know, well, there's no correct or wrong way of answering that question. You know, this is just, it's lovely just to drop something in, you know, that someone can get a hold of at this point of the conversation. Because sometimes because this whole conversation will have been sort of going into people's consciousness at various different levels and to various different degrees. And all of that,
depending on where.
Exact, takes its time to process in different ways. But sometimes it's lovely to have like a simple thing or a single thing to kind of latch onto while all the other things are doing what they're doing at the various different levels of consciousness. So it's lovely. And I always really appreciate the guest just coming from whatever is the thing they want to say in that moment. So thank you so much for that. And something I love about what you said is it's a reminder that this is something to practice, as in a muscle that we can build.
Absolutely.
And also that we don't necessarily get really good at it immediately, and that's okay. So
it is okay, because sometimes there are things in the way of us following our intuition, like our belief in ourselves or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of things. But it's just important to practice anyway. We don't have to get anything perfect. That's not what life is about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So, Donna, this is the next question I always ask everybody. Has there been a favorite part of this conversation for you today?
Yes. What I'm personally taking from this is your reflection about the thread of kindness in my life, that it's come from me and that I've received it from others. And that's really meaningful for me. I'd never thought about it like that before. I feel like I've genuinely landed in that place where I can offer it to other people. And I also feel like I've been given so many blessings along the way where people have offered that to me. And I just, that's what I'm taking from our conversation, is your beautiful insight and reflection, and just really landed in my heart.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm so glad. Yeah. That's beautiful. Fantastic. So where would you like people to go to find you, Donna?
Also, I'd like to offer your listeners something, if that's okay.
Of course.
With my jewelry, what I offer is a free 10-minute energy reading where I read the colours in your energy field and I let you know what that means for you And they're always really interesting. And then I also try on gemstones in people's energy fields, like with my imagination or my intuition, and let you know what could be a perfect gemstone match for you. So you can book in for a free energy reading with me. No strings attached. This is part of my the kindness that I feel I can offer people, actually. It's a really genuine gift from my heart to other people's, whether they choose to go down the jewelry path or not. And so, you can find that on my website, which is thehouseoforion.com.au, or through my Instagram, which is the_house_of_Orion. And I have another website, which is donnawallace.com.au, where you can find out a little bit more about me and my healing work. And
beautiful. Thank you so much, Donna. This has been such a joy. My mind is full of beautiful gemstones now. So for some reason in my imagination, they're sort of orbiting the earth.
They are. I guess they are. Well, they are with the grid, right?
That's right. So I've got this amazing, you know, I've got my own sort of auto-generated science fantasy movie going on in my head now. So that's going to carry
me. That's probably exactly how I see it too. I see like all of these gemstones being anchor points, like grid points, and I see these energy currents between all of the gemstones and around the whole planet. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Good chance we're seeing the same thing.
I'm in the middle of my morning here, so that sort of vision is going to carry me through for the rest of my day.
Excellent.
Into my weekend. So thank you so much, Donna. This has been an absolute joy, and I really appreciate you coming on, and have a beautiful evening.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute honor. Can't tell you how grateful I am.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Transcendence, and thank you for supporting the show by rating, reviewing, subscribing, buying me a coffee and telling a friend. If you'd like to know more about my work, you can find out about mentoring, workshops and energy treatments on beingspace.world. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.